So, how do we see the seat of consciousness? Because when we try to see inward, we just are aware of the raw sensation of our experiences, not the seat of consciousness. Yeah, I'll extend that metaphor of a light source. So, if say we had a white bulb, but it has a red glass around it, then although the light coming from the bulb is white, because of the glass being red, the light coming out will be red. So similarly, we could say consciousness coming from its seat is virtuous. But each of us has covering around it. And this covering is also constantly being reformed by our actions. Not reformed in the sense of being changed for the positive. Re and form. It is constantly being modified. Modified for the good or modified for the bad. Whatever. Based on how we are acting. So, what we can perceive is consciousness as it is manifest through the mind and through the body. So, consciousness as the consciousness as it is perceived in an outer medium is what we can see. But consciousness itself, or the seat of consciousness, as you said, that is not possible for us to see, because what we are looking for is what we are looking with. What we are looking for is what we are looking with. And that's why the seer can't see oneself. But that doesn't have to be always the case. Yeah, I'll explain that.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
I was going to come to the same. I was going to come to the same point. Very good. So it is said self-realization is the journey of consciousness through consciousness to consciousness. What does that mean? It's a journey of consciousness. Say, like right now, we are discussing this subject, so our consciousness is going in various directions. Maybe for some of you it's thinking, when is the food going to come? I'm hungry now. The consciousness is going toward food. Some of you will be thinking, this is all becoming very abstract. I'm just going to tune off now. Or some of you may be very interested. Basically, our consciousness is always on a journey. So maybe I could, can you just bring this a little, push this a little closer?
Okay.
Do we have something to wipe this? Yeah. Thank you. Everybody can see it from there? Yeah, sure. Just keep everything as it is. Just the individualism, individuality can drive it off. So when I said this is moving outward, so this is also consciousness. So normally our consciousness moves in various directions. So it is the consciousness is always on a journey. Now this is also consciousness. Because this is a seat of consciousness. And consciousness is the journey of consciousness through consciousness to consciousness. What does it mean is, this consciousness is going outward, it comes back inward like this. Now how does that happen? That happens when, as you said, the mind itself becomes like a mirror. So when the mind becomes like a mirror, the consciousness moves outwards, and then from here it moves inwards. And that is when we can perceive ourselves. So that is called self-realization. And that requires the complete cleansing of the mind. Now, the mind at that time doesn't function only as a mirror. If you see in this picture, the mind is meant to function also as a window, so that we can see the outer world. But at presently, the mind functions as a window, or sometimes it also functions like a TV screen. That's when we become absent-minded. We see everything except what is in front of us. But right now, very little of the mind functions as a mirror. But as it becomes cleansed of contaminations, then we can perceive ourselves better. So we can't buy this mirror. We have to purify ourselves. And self-understanding increases as we progress towards self-realization. So it's a incremental journey, just like a small newborn baby. It's not aware of anything except maybe food. Now, for newborn babies, experience the world as potential food. Whatever they get, they put it in their mouth, and that's how they primarily experience things. But gradually, they start having a sense of differentiated reality. Oh, this person who holds me so gently, who offers me her milk, this is my mother. And then gradually, they start getting a sense of selfhood. Like, okay, this is, you know, if I hit this, oh, I felt hurt. What happened? Oh, my hand went over the entered. So they start, their consciousness starts demarcating their own body. So that is at a physical level. But at a mental level also, we can start understanding ourselves better. When we go through different situations in life, you know, this I can do very well. Now, this skill, I saw the other people, they collapse under this situation. They can't take the stress. But I can. Maybe I'm good at this. But then some other things, we start doing it and everybody seems to be enjoying. And we feel, when will this end? Now, say suppose we are introverts. And then we are with a group of extroverts and everybody is talking loudly and enjoying. So if you go to a party, for an extrovert, they come with a smile, and the more people they meet, their smile becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. But for an introvert, they come with a smile, and the more people they meet, the smile starts becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, till it becomes a frown, and they're screaming for oxygen, I have to leave now. So, by going through various experiences, we learn about ourselves more. So that is, we can learn about ourselves at the level of the mind. But to learn about ourselves at the level of the soul, we need to consciously expose ourselves to spiritual experiences. So, mantra chanting is one way in which we guide our consciousness to go to the spiritual level. So the sound of the mantras are spiritual sounds. And as we let our consciousness flow along those sounds, what happens is, our consciousness becomes increasingly spiritualized. That's the time when we become completely spiritualized, that's when we'll be able to perceive ourselves. Does that answer your question?
Just to probe one more question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Direct.
Why can't consciousness perceive itself? Yeah, it can, but as long as we are in an embodied state, we are right now, the consciousness and the body are different, but we are connected together. So it's, to give another example, suppose somebody is watching a movie and they are in a theater. And now normally in a movie, two things happen. When you enter into the theater, the lights go off and the lights go on. The lights go off so that we are no longer so much distracted by things around us, the people around us, the happenings around us. And the lights go on so that our consciousness gets fixated, we could say, on the screen and what is happening on the screen. Now, similarly, you take this to a further degree, when the soul is the seat of consciousness, when the soul comes in contact with the body, basically the lights go off. That means the soul can't perceive itself. The consciousness gets fixated on the mind and the body. So, as long as we are fixated on the screen, it's only when the screen becomes a mirror, we'll see ourselves. Of course, once the fixation with the movie screen goes off, then we can turn around and see ourselves. It's possible. But generally, as long as the soul is in embodied state, it stays fixated with the body and the mind. And that's why we need the mind to perceive the self. Thank you. Yeah?
Please.